Okay, good morning. We are on the very bottom of Daf Ches Amud Beis, the very last line where it quotes Rabbah. Over the last Daf or two, we've talked about, among other things, Kisui Hadam, and there have been a number of hurdles we've had to overcome to allow Kisui Hadam on Yontif. Some of them are serious hurdles that we can't really overcome, such as Katisha, which is an Isser Doraisa of Tochein. And we've said that you can't do Kisui Hadam on Yontif unless it's pre-ground, finely ground dirt already. But others of the hurdles have been things like Tircha, which is the one we talked about most recently. We talked about the problem that you are causing a hole to be dug when you're taking the dirt out of the pile. And we said that we were able to overcome that hurdle, at least according to one opinion, because it was a Mahashen Esricho Gufa, as Tosfos understood it. And even though that would normally be an Isser Drabanan, prohibited Midrabanan, but because of Simchas Yom Tov, we were able to overcome that. So we've had a whole mix of problems with respect to Kisui Hadam, and that's how we've dealt with it. So now Rabbah is going to throw one more consideration into the mix. Amar Rabbah, Shachat Sipur Me'erev Yom Tov. If you shechted the bird not on Yontif itself, but on Erev Yontif, Ein Mechasen Oso B'Yom Tov. So here Rashi explains that you can't do Kisui Hadam on Yontif because you could have done Kisui Hadam on Erev Yontif. So that's what Rabbah is adding to the mix here. Even though there might have been reasons why we would have been more lenient on some of the reasons that would have prevented us from doing Kisui Hadam on Yontif, where you could have done Kisui Hadam on Erev Yontif, and you failed to do so by your own negligence, so we're not going to be so permissive and allow you to overcome those obstacles and allow you to do Kisui Hadam on Yontif. Rashi points out, by the way, you're not going to be so bad off, because as we've pointed out, even if you are not able to do Kisui Hadam, you can still eat the meat. Kisui Hadam is not something that permits you to eat the meat. It's a separate mitzvah. You're allowed to eat the meat even if you're not able to perform Kisui Hadam. But that's what Rabbah says. As opposed to the following scenario, says Rabbah, Gagol Issa Me'erev Yom Tov. And now we're going to learn this according to the way Tosfos learns it, because the next six or seven lines are very, very difficult in Rashi's Perish. Tosfos, the long Tosfos on the left here, has a different interpretation. We're going to follow Tosfos for the next few lines. So as opposed to the following case, says Rabbah, Gagol Issa Me'erev Yom Tov. Let's say you started kneading dough on Erev Yontif, and you just started the very preliminary process of kneading dough. You mixed the flour with the water in Erev Yontif, and then as Yontif began, you continued to knead the dough, and you finished the kneading process on Yontif itself. Mafrish mimena chalasa b'yom tov. In that situation, you're allowed to be mafrish chala on Yontif. Now, normally we're not so excited about doing hafreshas chala on Yontif, because, as Rashi points out, it's nira kemisakein. The various matnas kahuna, the various gifts that we give to the kohanim, that you are mafresh from produce and from challah and other things, typically you can't do that on Shabbos and Yontif, because you're transforming a prohibited item, that's tevel, into a permitted item. That's nira kemisakein. You're doing something transformative to an item on Shabbos and Yontif, so normally you're not allowed to do that. But here, Ochel Nefesh comes into play, because you're making this challah to be eaten on Yontif, and so Ochel Nefesh says that's okay, since, as we pointed out, you didn't really have the opportunity to be mafresh the challah on Erev Yontif, because you just started the process, mixing the flour and the water on Erev Yontif, and you didn't really finish the kneading process until after Yontif began. We're going to give you a pass, and we're going to allow you to be mafresh challah on Yontif. Now, it's true, as the Rishonim point out, that you might have actually been able to be mafresh chala in those very, very earliest stages, because you could even do afresha at the earliest stages, but typically that's not done. The custom is to wait until the dough is at least fully kneaded to do the afresha. And therefore, Rabbah says, as opposed to the Kisui Hadam scenario, where you had the opportunity to do Kisui Hadam and Erev Yontif, and you failed to do so, and so therefore we're going to say, time's up, you're not allowed to do Kisui Hadam on Yontif, for the various reasons we've discussed. In contrast to that, in the kneading the dough hafreshas challah scenario, you didn't really have the opportunity to do the hafresha before Yontif, and so therefore we're going to allow you to do the hafresha on Yontif itself. That's the way Tosfos understands this point in the Gemara. Avua d'Shmuel Amar, the father of Shmuel, says, "Afigu galgal isa me erev yom tov, ein mafrish mimena chalasa b'yom tov." So he takes the prohibition of misakein mana, of nirka misakein, a little more seriously, and he says, even in this case, where you didn't really have the opportunity to do the afrasher before yontif, you're not allowed to be mafrish chala on yontif because it's nirka misakein. You're transforming a tevel into chulin, a prohibited item into a permitted item. So now the Gemara suggests the following: Lema pliga de Shmuel adavua. Perhaps Shmuel argues with his father. Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel himself said, Chalas, what's the Av? Chalas Truma, Bechutzal Aretz, Ochel Vehoich, Vachar Kach Mafresh. Our whole Sugya is talking about being Mafresh Chua outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we're only on a Drabbanan level. And Shmuel says there's a rule when it comes to being Mafresh Chala, Bechutzal Aretz, Midrabbanan, that you don't have to do the hafrasha outright at the beginning by taking from the isa a portion. You could actually eat the challah, bake it, right, and start eating the challah, and just do it passively by leaving a little bit of challah left over. And that will be, that will turn out to be your hafrasha. It's like a passive hafrasha as opposed to doing actively by taking challah out of the isa. So that's what Shmuel says. Excuse me. And the Gemara says that since that's the case, since passive hafrasha is an option, so Rashi puts it very well. He says, Alma hafrashasa shelo litzorechi. So therefore, active hafrasha is not really necessary because you could always rely on passive hafrasha, on just eating the chal and leaving a little left over at the end. Velo havya hafrasha. And therefore, active hafrasha isn't really hafrasha because it's not necessary. I'm in the Rashi of Ochel v'Holeich. V'havi hafrasha. V'amafrish b'yom tov eno kemisakin d'witzer kesharag bas truma because of Rabbanim b'nishir eno kemisakin. And therefore, to do active hafrasha wouldn't really be a problem of hafrasha chala on yontif that would give rise to a problem of nira kemisakin. That is the way, that's the problem posed by the Gemara. Not the problem, but that's the suggestion by the Gemara. If the Gemara is suggesting that if Shmuel is correct, that if passive hafrasha is a possibility, then active hafrasha is really to be disregarded as no halakhic significance because you could have done passive hafrasha. And if that's the case, the Gemara suggests, then Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, must be disagreeing, because the father of Shmuel said, you can't do active hafrasha on yontif. That must mean that he thinks that it's a halachically significant act that results in a nirka misakin problem. And the Gemara immediately answers by saying, Amar Rava. Rava answers, Miwa moda Shmuel shim kara le Hashem sha'asura lezarim. Just because Shmuel allows passive hafrasha doesn't mean that he thinks that active hafrasha is a completely disregarded act, that it has no significance, has no halachic significance. In fact, that's not true at all. If you actively are mafresh the challah, it's still kara ala Hashem. It still has a chalos. It still has a status of challah, so that it is asur lazaran. The halacha is that a zar, a non kohen, is not allowed to eat challah. So again, just because Shmuel allowed passive hafrasha by just waiting till the end, that doesn't mean to say that he says that active hafrasha is entirely insignificant. In fact, it's very significant. It's fully considered hafrasha. A non-kohen, a zar, cannot eat the separated challah, and therefore that's why it's nirka misakein and it's prohibited on yontif. And so it's not necessarily the case, or Rava says you can't conclude at all that Shmuel and his father disagree on that point.
Are you allowed to cook dough on yontif mechala?
Yes, it's ochel nefesh.
If I have raw dough on yontif, I can put it into the oven, yeah, hypothetically, and it could make bread.
Yeah, you're even allowed to knead it. Yeah.
I'm saying, are you allowed to even start the process?
You're even allowed to start the process on yontif. Yeah,
the whole thing is. What was the chiddush of? Why do you have to say with that you started the process before Yontif, and then the...
So that gets into the whole confusion between Rashi and Tosfos here. The reason Tosfos thinks that that's the scenario we're talking about, where you started it before and then you finished it on Yontif, is because that offers the contrast with the Kisoy Adam situation. The Kisoy Adam is prohibited because you could have done the Kisoy Adam before Yontif, as opposed to here where you typically wouldn't have done the Hafrashas Chala before Yontif because you were still in the process of kneading the dough.
Right.
Rashi doesn't understand it that way. Rashi says that you actually kneaded the dough before Yontif, but then it gets a very complicated to understand why there's a difference between the Kisoy Adam scenario and the Hafrashas Chala scenario. So Tosfos is an easier read of the Gemara. Tosfos has his own problem. It's a complicated sugya, but that's basically what the way we just presented it here kind of flows.
So you are allowed to take Chala.
So you are, no, so I think we paskin like Avuah d'Shmuel. We paskin like Avuah d'Shmuel that you're not allowed to be Makar Shchala. And I believe the fix is, therefore, you do the what Shmuel's idea, which is to just eat your bread, eat your Chala, and then leave a little left over, and that'll become your Chala. Tosfos, at the end of the Tosfos here, talks about the requirement that you have to probably leave a little more than the challah because you have to actually have a recognizable hafrasha, so you actually have to, at the end, take a part of that. But that's a technicality. But that's how you would solve that problem. You would eat the challah, leave a little left over, and that would become your challah.
And there's no difference if you prepared the before yantif or anantif.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
So why do we call challah challah today?
That, why do we call challah challah? That's like one of those colloquialisms. Like, why do we call an eruv an eruv? An eruv, you know, what we refer to as an eruv is a series of tzuras hapsachim around the city, whereas the eruv is the shared loaf of bread. But we call the eruv an eruv. It's like the Yiddish, I think the Rav Schechter says, it's how we refer to that in Yiddish. We refer to it as eruv. So here too, challah is challah, because of, we, you know, remember the mitzvah of challah.
The din of Shmuel of the passive hafrasha, is that only in Chutz La'aretz, or is that also you can do that in
Shmuel articulates it as something that's only available in Chutz La'aretz, and that's the way Rashi says as well, because it's only means Rabbanon in Chutz La'aretz.
So otherwise, I guess you're saying in Eretz Yisrael, you have to do the...
You'd have to actually do an active hafrasha. That's you know, standard, it's classical hafrasha. Yeah. Okay. Now we have a new Mishnah.
I'm just saying, which would be more problematic
on
if you're making challah in Eretz Yisrael on Yontif.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure l'halacha how that all works, practically speaking. Yeah. Okay. So now we have a new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molichin Es Hasuwa Mishubach L'Shubach, Ava Mateo Mechalon L'Chalon V'Esuwa Matirim. We're now dealing with a situation where you want to take a chicken out of your chicken coop on Yontif in order to make a meal for Yontif. Obviously, that's okay. We've been assuming for about 9 dapim now that it's perfectly permissible to shecht a chicken, cook it, and eat it on Yontif. So that's not a problem. But the problem is that you might have a marasayan problem in the way you go to get the chicken. So the chickens typically were in chicken coops, and some of the cubbies of the chicken coop were high up, and you need a ladder to get to the cubby. So Beis Shammai says you cannot take a ladder and move it from chicken coop to chicken coop. And we'll see in a moment why that's problematic, because it looks like you're doing home improvement kind of stuff by moving ladders around. But just to move a ladder a little bit from one window to the next within the same chicken coop, that's okay, because everyone understands that you're just getting chickens. As opposed to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says it's heter gamur, it's mutter, it's not a problem. So we'll see what they're arguing about in the next Gemara. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Ami. So Rav Chanan Bar Ami, who's an Amora, says the following: Machlokes Birshus Harabim. This machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel refers to a Rishus Harabim, a public area where everyone can see what's going on. Passersby can see what's going on. De Beis Shammai Savri Haroa Omer Latiach Gaga Hutzarech. Beis Shammai says that a passerby will see what's going on and will say, "Look, this guy is moving around ladders. He must be going to fix his roof. He's going to plaster his roof to make it waterproof, whatever it is. He's involved in some kind of home improvement project. It's Yontif. You're obviously not allowed to plaster your roof on Yontif, and that's very bad. It's a Marasayan problem," says Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Savri, and Beis Hillel says, "No, don't worry about it. Shov chomuchiach alav. The type of ladder and the fact that there's a chicken coop there will demonstrate to everyone what's really going on. Everyone knows that there are ladders at that people use to get their chickens on Yontif, then this guy is simply getting a chicken to eat on Yontif. That's the machlokas according to Rav Chanan Bar Ami. But he continues, aval birshus hayachid. But if we're talking about a private area where there are no passers-by, where no one's seeing what's going on, divrei hakol mutter. So then everyone would agree, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, would agree that it's perfectly permissible to climb the ladder, to move the ladder around, and to get the chickens. There's no there's no problem of Maris Ayin in a Rishus HaYachid where no one sees what's going on. So the Gemara interjects and says, Ini, is that really true? V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Marav, doesn't Rav Yehuda Marav say, Kol makom sh'asru chachamim mipnei Maris Ayin, any situation that Chazal prohibited because of the problem of Maris Ayin, people are going to see that you're doing something that appears to be prohibited, afilu b'chadrei chadarim aser, is aser, is prohibited not only in a public area where everyone sees what's going on, but even in private it's aser, presumably because they figured, they wanted to make a low plug, and they figured if you're going to do it in private, someone might see, you never know who's watching, or you're going to carry on your activities in public. And so they made a low plug, they across the board, they prohibited this kind of behavior even in private. That's the Shita of Rav. So that is a problem, according to Rav Chanan Bar Ami, because Rav Chanan Bar Ami explained that everyone agrees, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that in private it's not a problem of Maris Ayin. So the Gemara answers, it's interesting. Rashi points out, Rav Chanan Bar Ami is an Amora. Rav is also an Amora, right? So this shouldn't have been so surprising and problematic for the Gemara that one Amora argues with another Amora. Amoraim argue all the time, right? So what's the big deal? So Rashi points out that Rav is a very, very early generation Amora. And whenever Rav's arguing with anyone other than Shmuel, it gets our goat up. We get worried about that. And so we almost treat Rav like, we have an expression, Rav Tana Hu Poli. The Rav is treated like a Tana here. So the fact that Rav Chanan Bar Ami, a later Amora, is saying something that seems diametrically opposed to a member of Rav is problematic, and we're going to treat it almost as if there's a problem posed by a Tana. So the Gemara answer is, no, don't worry. Rav Chanan Bar Ami has what to rely on because Tanoihi, this itself is a machlokas Tanoim, Ditanya, because we have a brisa that says, Shotchan Bechama Avalo Keneged Ha'am. If your clothes got wet on Shabbos, and now you need to put them out to dry, you can put them out on the clotheslines in your backyard, Avalo Keneged Ha'am, but not in public, not where people can see. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, even if no one can see it, it's Osir. In other words, this Machlokas Tanaim is goof about this issue, is about this very issue of Rav. When we say that there's a problem of Maris Ayin, do we permit it if it's going to be in public? Do we permit it if it's going to be in private where no one can see? Or is it only prohibited, and it's only prohibited in public, or is it prohibited across the board? So Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, they take the position of Rav, that it's usher even in private, whereas the Tanakhama here, that's the opinion that Rav Chanan Bar Ami is relying on to say that in private Maris Ayin is not a problem, Maris Ayin is only a problem in public. Fine. Then the Gemara has just a slight, not slight, but a variation of this Shakla Vitaria that just works a little differently. Ika da Amri, there's another tradition that says, Amr Rav Chanan Bar Ami. The Rav Chanan Bar Ami on this Mishnah commented, Machokas Birshus HaYachid, that the Machokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is in a Rishus HaYachid, where they are arguing about this very issue, meaning that the Machokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel here parallels the Machokas Tanoim between Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon and the Tanakhama, and the later Machokas Amroim between Rav Chanan and Bar Ami and Rav. So Machokas Birshus HaYachid, the Beis Shammai Islehud Rav Yehuda Marav, Beis Shammai holds like Rav Yehuda Marav, so he says that the problem of Maris Ayin is a problem even in private. Beis Hillel less Lehud Rav Yehuda Marav, and Beis Hillel doesn't have the problem of Rav Yehuda Marav. He says it's mutter. Aval Birshus Harabim Divrei Kol Aser, but everyone would agree that this is a real problem of Maris Ayin is presented by these moving ladders, and therefore in public it's Aser. The Gemara says, Lema Rav Damar Kabeis Shammai. If that's your analysis, Rav Chanan Bar Ami, of this Machlokas Tanaim, it turns out that Rav who articulated the position that Maris Ayin is a problem even in private, is siding with Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. That is problematic because we generally hold like Beis Hillel. Why would Rav all of a sudden side like Beis Shammai? So he answers, Tanaihi. No. And he ties it back to that other Machlokas Tanaim, and he says, you're right. It's a, what I'm saying is just what my perspective on what this Machlokas is, right? But Rav would have a different approach to this. Rav, who's defending the position, or who's articulating the position that Maris Ayin is not a problem even in that Maris Ayin is a problem even in private, he will read the Mishnah differently. He'll read the Mishnah as saying that everyone agrees that that even Beis Hillel agrees that it's usher in private. Because it's a Tanai, then we quote the same Machlokas Tanai. The Tanya Shotchan Bechama Avalo Keneged Ha'am, that you can put these wet clothing out in private, but not in public. Rav Lazar Rav Shimon Osrin, as opposed to Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, they say it's usher even in private because they're holding like this position that was articulated by Rav. It's interesting. So what it turns out, lehalacha, we hold like Rav's shita lehalacha, that Maris Ayin, generally speaking, is prohibited even in private. When Chazal said that something is prohibited because of Maris Ayin, they're going to extend their prohibition even in private. Tosvos in Ksubas points out that this shita of Rav only applies to Risure Doraisa, meaning where the Maris Ayin is a Maris Ayin that we're afraid someone's going to conclude that you're violating an Isser Doraisa. Like here, right? The Isser D'oraisa here was home improvement, fixing a roof. That's potentially an Isser D'oraisa. And so only there do we hold that Rav Yehuda Merav, does Rav Yehuda Merav hold his Shita, but where it's an Isser D'rabanan, it would be not a problem if you did it in private. The classical case of Maris Ayin that the Shulchan Aruch talks about is a situation of displaying or serving let's say a meat dish or a chicken dish with almond milk. Right, nowadays we have non-dairy creamer. Back then the equivalent was almond milk. So let's say you are presenting your meat dish with almond milk. So it could be that when it comes to non-dairy creamer nowadays, some posts can point out, everyone knows that non-dairy creamer is non-dairy creamer, and it's not a problem with Maris Ayin at all. So you could go to a function at a wedding and there's coffee there with creamer, and it doesn't even have to be labeled according to some poskim because everyone knows that it's non-dairy creamer. But maybe
some stuff does actually require them to leave the container on the table.
That's right, yes. For that reason, exactly, right. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about whether you can serve meat with almond milk, and the Ramah there in Siman Pei Zayin in Yoredeya distinguishes between serving meat with almond milk on the one hand and serving chicken with almond milk on the other hand. Because meat with almond milk is an iser, or meat with milk is an iser d'oraisa, at least cooked meat with milk, and then the post can talk about what if it's not cooked, it's just like sitting in the milk. So that's another situation. But at least cooked meat with milk would be an iser d'oraisa. So maybe displaying the meat or presenting the meat with the almond milk would be a real Maris Ayin problem. As opposed to chicken is only an iser d'rabanan, we generally assume that chicken is only considered fleishik mi d'rabanan, and therefore it would only be a d'rabanan problem. So the Ramah says there that you're allowed to serve the chicken with the almond milk. That's not a problem because it's only an iser d'rabanan. To which the Shach says, well, what are you talking about? We know that the iser of Maris Ayin applies also to isurei d'rabanan. It's not only isurei d'oraisa as a problem of Maris Ayin. And so some of the poskim answer up that stira by saying that what the Ramah really meant to say is based on the distinction we just described. That the distinction between private and public and the notion that Maris Ayin is a problem even in private is only true by Yisurei D'oraisa and not true by Yisurei D'rabanan. And so maybe what the Ramah really meant to say, or what the Ramah was talking about, was a private scenario. And since it's in private, it's in your own house, let's say, so then you can serve chicken with the almond milk, and the Maris Ayin problem is not a problem because it's b'chadrei chadarim, it's in private. As opposed to the meat with the almond milk would be a problem even in private, because as we're pointing out, we hold like Rav that kol makom sha'asru chachamim b'nei Maris Ayin afil b'chadrei chadarim aser, they prohibit it. Okay.
Why would you be serving chicken in the
Maybe it tastes good. Maybe it looks good. I don't know.
No, it's part of the recipe. More of like a cream chicken or something.
Yeah, like, right.
The classic example of Marceline is McDonald's, right?
Is McDonald's, right.
Going into the
we're talking about
right, right. Marsine is very situationally based.
No, but in Israel, where you can get a parve cheeseburger, I'm saying that's almost kilu with McDonald's wrapper.
Yeah, but, yeah. But if you're in Israel, that's the thing. Marsine just depends very much on the situation. For example, stopping on a rest stop on the Garden State Parkway and going into a McDonald's. I mean, I guess it's all one thing there. But even buying a coffee at a McDonald's,
right, exactly.
And again, having a McDonald's coffee sitting in your, assuming you get over problems of coffee and kashrus, but whatever, sitting in your cup holder as you're driving down the parkway, I don't think anyone would say that's a Marsine problem, because everyone knows that you buy coffee in McDonald's, you know, and it probably didn't mean you also had a Big Mac with your coffee. So Marsine is very, as opposed to, you know, what's more a problem with Marsine, let's say, is going to a Dunkin' Donuts with a terrible hashgacha, right? There are some places with Dunkin' Donuts with bad hashgachas, and if the community doesn't accept this hashgacha, and you're going to go boldly and walk into that Dunkin' Donuts, so there, that's a real problem, because there's a real mistake that could be made, as opposed to going to a Dunkin' Donuts to buy a coffee on the New Jersey Turnpike, which has no hashgacha, and everyone knows you're going in to get a coffee. That's not a Marsine. So it's a very situationally
misleading people by seeing you.
That's why you should go to Christmas.
Is that what it is? It's misleading. That's what Marsine is. Misleading other potential people.
There are two opinions among the poskim as to what the basis for the Isser of Marsine is. Either it's that it's lashon hara about yourself, or that it's misleading people that may conclude and act, follow your lead. And they're not communities.
We had a kind of problem where we bought the Dunkin' Donuts from a kosher Dunkin' Donuts, but we took it to a far-off community. We were going there for Shabbos. They don't have any Dunkin' Donuts.
Uh-huh.
But that person had guests come to their house, and then they saw Dunkin' Donuts on their counter.
Yeah, that might be a situation where you need to put up a big sign that says,
right.
You know, kosher Dunkin' Donuts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we're at the top of Tess Amid Bays. The top of Tesla and Beis is as follows. Masnisin, the Mishnah, which we just quoted, of Beis Shammai, the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with respect to this latter in Marsayim, Delo Ki Hai Tana. It doesn't follow the following Tana of the following Braisid. Excuse me, Ditanya. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Modim Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel, Shemolichin es Hasula Mishubach Hushubach. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would agree that you can move the Sulam from Shubach with Shubach. Rashi points out it's Tzorach Yom Tov. That's going to override any possible considerations of Marasayin. So that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree. Again, this is a Tana that goes against the author of our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Elazar. So he says Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say they agree that you can move the ladder from Shubach with Shubach from one coop to another. The only machlokas between them is with respect to returning the ladder. There's not a Tzorach Yom Tov anymore, and so therefore the potential Isser of Marsayim will kick in again. And then Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Machzir, and so Beis Shammai will say it's a Marsayim problem. You can't return the ladder back to the chicken coop from which it came. Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzir, and Beis Hillel says you can do that. It's not a problem with Marsayim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, this is a continuation of that braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bemedvar mamurim." That's only true b'sulam shel shubach, with a ladder that's specially designated for use with chicken coops. It's a ladder that everyone knows that's the kind of ladder that goes with chicken coops. Aval b'sulam shel aliyah, but a ladder that goes up to the attic, meaning a standard work ladder, divrei akolaser, that everyone is going to agree is prohibited, because there's a real Marsayim problem, even according to Beis Hillel, because it's a work ladder. People are going to really think that you're going to do home improvement projects. Rav Dosa Omer, Mateo mechalon lechalon. So Rav Dosa says you can move it, and the Gemara is going to get into what Rav Dosa is modifying it. Is he talking about Rabbi Yehuda's statement about the work ladder, or is he talking about the Shubach ladder? We'll get to that. So Rav Dosa says you can move it from one window to another. That's less of a project, less of a brouhaha. You can move it from one ladder, from one window within the same chicken coop to another window. Acherim omrim mishum Rabbi Dosa af medadim bo. So finally, Acherim say, others say, in the name of Rabbi Dosa, that you could even kind of medadimbo. That means kind of tilt it back and forth to move it over. Again, that's more of an intensive home improvement like of action that's going to potentially result in more of a marasayan problem. But these acharim say you could even do that. You can even do that. Okay, so now the Gemara starts with a story. B'nei Rabbi Chiya naflu kri kriyasa. So if you were curious, it says that the sons of Rabbi Chiya, they went to kriyasa, they went to the rural areas to check on their fields, says Rashi. If you were curious, what are the names of the sons of Rabbi Chiya? The little note on the side points out that Rashi and Avodah Zarah points out that their names were Yehuda and Chizkiya. So they went to the fields to check up on their fields, to check up on their farms. Ki asu, when they arrived, Amar lahu avun, their father said to them, Klum maisa bau yadchem, did anything happen to you? Did you paskin any shilas recently? Were you involved in any interesting sugyas recently? The Meiri points out that it must be that the father saw that they were actively talking and they were excited about what they were talking about, and therefore he kind of interjected and said, what are you guys talking about? So Amru lo, so they said to their father, Sulam bali adenu. The halakhic issue of Sulam, and specifically Rashi points out, Sulam shel aliyah, not the Sulam specifically designated for chicken coop climbing, but rather a more general Sulam shel aliyah, one that you'd lean against the building to get to the attic, bali adenu. That shaila came to us as to whether or not you're allowed to move around the Sulam shel aliyah to a chicken coop to access the chicks on Yontif. V'tarnuhu, and we said it's mutter. We said it's no problem. So Amar Lahem, so their father immediately said to them, Tz'uv asru mashi tartim, go back and tell whoever you told that it was mutter, go tell them it was asr. Why? Inhu savur, they, the sons of Rabbi Chiya, thought that midaka amar Rabbi Yehuda bisulam shel aliyah, that the fact that Rabbi Yehuda in his statement said that the only time where there are some who permit it is with a sulam shel shubach, but it's a sulam but with a sulam shel aliyah, everyone agrees it's aser. Michal de Tanakama Savar Pligi. That implies that the first opinion in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he holds that in fact there is a machlokas with respect to the Sulam Shel Aliyah. And if you remember, the way he explained the machlokas was only on bringing it back. But to bring it there, the Sulam Shel Aliyah would be mutter, according to that reading. Velohi, but the truth is that's not the proper reading of the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda taimed the Tanakama kamafresh. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda was explaining the Tanakama. He wasn't coming to contrast with the Tanakama to say an alternative shita. He was coming to explain the Tanakama. And if that's the case, there's no opinion that would permit moving a Sulam Shel Aliyah on Yontif. Everyone would agree that's a problem of Maris Ayin, according to this Braisa. To bring the Sulam Shel Aliyah to the Shubach, fine, or to bring it back. So, and Mimai, how do you know this? Mida Katani Molichin es Hasulam Mishubach LeShubach. Because the way the Rabbi Shimon Elazar explained it, it's Molichin es Hasulam Mishubach LeShubach to take the Sulam from one Shubach to another. That implies that you're talking about a Sulam that's typically leaning against one Shubach, and now you're going to move it to another Shubach. And if you thought, and if it was true, that they were talking about a Sulam Shel Aliyah, so hay molichin es ha-sulam mishubach l'shubach, it wouldn't say molichin es ha-sulam mishubach l'shubach, molichin es ha-sulam l'shubach mi-ba'ilei. It should have described it as bringing that type of ladder to the shubach, because this is not the type of ladder that typically starts off leaning against the shubach. It's one you bring from your shed or bring from your garage to the shubach. That's what it should have said. El alav hachikamer. Rather, the proper reading of the brayse is shel shubach in shel aliyah lo. The only thing that they permitted to do to bring right beishama again, according to the Tanakhama, beishama and beisila agree that you could bring this luchatchila was a shubach a sulam shel shubach, the sulam specifically designated for use with the chicken coop, shel aliyah lo, but not a sulam that's generally used for home improvement projects. The idach, and the Gemara then says, well, what were they thinking? How were they reading this brisa to reach their conclusion that there's a man diomer here, that everyone would agree that a sulam shel aliyah would be permitted? Mikatani suam shel shubach. The Brisa never explicitly said a suam shel shubach is what we're talking about here, so it leaves open the possibility that we were talking about a suam shel aliyah. Mishubach lishubach katani. All it said that led you to the conclusion that it must be a suam shel shubach is that this is a suam that you're carrying from one shubach to another. So it could very well have meant, says the children of Rabbi Chiya, it could very well have meant that you brought that sulam shel aliyah out from your garage or out from your shed and brought it to a shubach, and then from there you brought it from shubach to shubach. It doesn't necessarily mean that we were talking about a sulam shel shubach that started out as shubach and is being moved from shubach to shubach. That was why they were left with the possibility of misinterpreting the Brice there, at least misinterpreting it based on their father's position.
And in terms of prosecuting, is it allowed that if a rabbi prohibits something to go back and to reverse his ruling?
Yeah, if he made a mistake, sure.
No, but he only made a mistake because someone else said that he made a mistake. But in terms of answering, you know, Shilas and Shuvas, I mean, could you just imagine the Pandora's box being opened if you go over to a rabbi and say, Rabbi, is this us or, you know, or not? And the rabbi says, it's not. And then he goes an hour later and, no, I changed my mind. You know, it's just kind of...
No, I think what would typically ensue here was a conversation between the son and the sons and the father, and they would try to figure out what the real pshat is in the braisa, and then the sons might very well retract from their position. I mean, a psak in halacha is not a papal edict, so that it's it's infallible in any way. Rabbis sometimes make mistakes, and rabbis correct themselves or should correct themselves when they realize that a psak is errant.
But it also sounds like this more like the kid said, Dad, I said that it was okay, and Dad's like, no, it's not okay. Go tell him you made a mistake.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, and if the kids are gonna realize that their father is right, the Gemara kind of leaves it open, but the implication is that the father gets the last word here. And then they'll go back and correct the psak. Yeah, so that's okay. Okay, so the Gemara then says Ikadamri has just another version, a quick version of the same story. Amru lo hitui sulam shel aliyah b'yadenu. When the father asked the kids, did anything interesting happen today? They said the topic of hitui sulam shel shubach b'yadenu, the idea of moving a sulam from one window to another, vitarnuu, and we said it's mutter. I think here too we're talking about sulam shel aliyah. That was the mistake they made, right? They said that a sulam shel aliyah can be moved from chalon to chalon. Okay, vitarnuu. So amr lahen. So he immediately said to them, tsuv asru mashi itartem. He said, go back and correct yourselves. What you said was permitted is really not permitted. Go back and tell them. In whose savor, they thought that Maideka Asar Tanakama Kasharu Rabbi Dosa. If you remember, Rabbi Dosa said, Mateu me chalon le chalon. He said, you can move the sulam from one window to another. And so they figured that that Rabbi Dosa is coming to speak about the immediately preceding opinion, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was one who said that a sulam shel aliyah is aser, and Rabbi Dosa then said you can move it from a chalon to a chalon. So they thought that Rabbi Dosa was commenting on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and to say that even though Rabbi Yehuda says you can't move a sulam shel aliyah, a home improvement type of sulam, at all, Rabbi Dosa says no, you cannot move it from shubach to shubach, but you can move it slightly from chalon to chalon. That's not going to be a marasayan problem. Velohi. And that's not really true. Maida kashari tanakama ka'asa Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa was prohibiting what Rabbi Dosa was offering a more restrictive opinion. And so what the tanakama was permitting, namely a suam shel shubach, Rabbi Dosa was saying you could only move it from a chalon to chalon, from a shubach to shubach. But everyone agreed, or no one was talking here about Asulam Shaliyah. Rabbi Dosa wasn't talking about Asulam Shaliyah, and therefore Asulam Shaliyah is certainly prohibited, and that's why the father sent them back to correct their view. Okay. Alright, next what the Gemara is going to do in the next several lines to finish off the Amud is address kind of an ambiguity in the Mishnayos. We know, as we started off this year discussing, that there are all sorts of considerations that have come into play when it came to Kisui Adam, and now one of them was Simchas Yom Tov. So Simchas Yom Tov was one of the considerations at play in potentially overriding some of the other considerations that would have disallowed you or precluded you from performing Kisui Hadam. And so the Gemara is now going to focus on the change that appears to have been made between the first Mishnah and the Mishnah we just dealt with. If you remember, the first Mishnah was a little surprising because Beis Shammai was the Mekil opinion and Beis Hillel was the Machmir opinion. That it doesn't follow the normal paradigm. Usually Beis Hillel is the Mekil and Beis Shammai is the Machmir. Now all of a sudden on Tess Amud Beis we're back to the norm where Beis Hillel is the Mekil and Beis Shammai is the Machmir. And so the Gemara is going to get a little confused until it corrects itself and say, well, if the topic is the same, if all these Mishnayos are talking about the halacha of Simchas Yom Tov and whether Simchas Yom Tov overrides certain considerations and prohibitions, so why in the beginning are the Beis Shammai the Me'akilim and now all of a sudden they switch their tune and they're the Machmirim? Shouldn't, if it's one topic they're talking about, which is Simchas Yom Tov, shouldn't there would be one monolithic approach? Beis Shammai is Mekil on Simchas Yom Tov and Beis Hillel is Machmir on Simchas Yom Tov. How can you switch tunes in the middle in the same topic? And the Gemara is going to predictably answer that no, Simchas Yom Tov isn't the only thing in play here. There are other overriding concerns, and that's where the fundamental machlokas comes from, and that's why Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel might have different opinions when it comes to Kisui Adam versus Shechita versus Muktzah versus Marasayin, etc. So let's see. So the Gemara quotes our Mishnah, which again, in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel was the Mekil, following the more standard paradigm. And the Gemara says, Alma gabe Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai l'chumra, u'Beis Hillel l'kula. Presumably, says the Gemara, what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing about in our Mishnah was Simchas Yom Tov, and whether Simchas Yom Tov overrides a problem of Marasayin. And it seems here that Beis Shammai is the Machmir when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov. Verimini, and we have a contradiction. Hashochet chaya ve'of b'yom tov. If you remember, this is going back to the last Mishnah. Someone who shechs a chaya or an oaf, a bird or a wild animal, a yontif, where kisui adam is required. Beis Shammai omrim yachpor bedeker v'yichase. Beis Shammai says it's no problem. You can simply take dirt from the ground, and you could do kisui adam. And Beis Hillel says, no, don't do shechita altogether because you're not going to be able to do the kisui because you can't do kisui unless you had afar muchan mi bojom, unless you get rid of all the problems of hachana and all the problems of tchina, etc. So that's a problem because if the overriding theme here is Simchas Yom Tov, and whether that wins the day, whether that carries the day, why is it that in our Mishnah Beis Shammai is Machmir, and in that Mishnah Beis Shammai is Mekil? So Rav Yochanan Muchlefes Hashita. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, just swap the Shitas. We have a Girsa problem. Our tradition is wrong. Our Mishnah got it wrong. We're going to switch the Shitas and make it work with the last Mishnah, and in our Mishnah as well, Beis Shammai is the Mekil. So the Gemara says, Mimai. Don't be so quick to switch the shitas. Dilma ad kan lo kaamri Beis Shammai hasam el heichadika dekar notes. Maybe Beis Shammai was only mekil there because the situation allowed for that, because there was already afar muchan mi ba'ojom, there was already a small shovel in the dirt. You already got rid of all the problems of yontif that would have applied to kisui adam generally. Aval heicha deleka dekar notes lo. But where there wasn't all that prepared, where there would have been a real problem of Hilchos Yom Tov, he wouldn't have said that. Vinami ad kan lo kamrir Beis Hillel hacha el deshuvcho mochiach alav. And for that matter, Beis Hillel here is only Mekil because he thinks there's genuinely not a Maris Ayin problem because everyone sees this is the kind of ladder that goes with a Shubach and no one's going to think you're going to fix your roof. Aval Hasam, whoa. But maybe over there, Beis Hillel thought there was a genuine problem. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is there are all sorts of problems we're talking about. We're not just focused singularly on Simchas Yom Tov. We're talking about a machlokas about whether or not this Hachana is sufficient. We're talking about a machlokas about whether or not there is a genuine Maris Ayin problem here. It's much too simple to simply say that there is a machlokas in both situations of just about Simchas Yom Tov. It's much more complicated than that. And that's what would explain the fact that in one case, Beis Shammai's Mekil, and in the other case, Beis Shammai's Machmir. The Gemara suggests in following, Eloi Kashia HaKashia. But if you want to apply Rabbi Yochanan's statement of Mukhlefes HaShita, and say that Rabbi Yochanan wanted to swap around the Shita because he was concerned about a contradiction, here is the contradiction that really exists. Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yitol Imlin Kenyanea Mivod Yom. This is the next Mishnah that's going to appear on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where we're going to talk about how muchan these animals have to be. We've talked about tarnigolos, some of this called beitzim, some of this achila, etc. And we're going to talk more about that on the next amud next week. But suffice it to say, Beis Shammai is machmir there and says that you actually have to, in order to be mechin, in order to designate a chicken as being a chicken to be slaughtered on Yontif, prior to Yontif, you have to actually pick up the chicken and kind of shake it and say, this is the chicken that I'm going to eat tomorrow. And Beis Hillel says that just like any other hachana, you don't actually need to pick it up. You could just designate it verbally. So Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yitol Imkin Naneh Mivod Yom, if you had shaken the chicken from the previous day. Beis Hillel Omrim Omeid Veomer Zeh Vezeh Aninoto. Beis Hillel says all you need to do is designate it verbally. Again, Alma, so the Gemara is going to make a sweeping conclusion. Alma gabe simchas yom tov, Beis Shammai l'chumra. The reason Beis Shammai is machmir there is because he is more machmir when it comes to simchas yom tov. Uve silo l'kua. And Beis Hillel the Mekel.
We mean machmir in terms of worrying about the prohibition of
yes,
the
Yes, that's right.
It doesn't mean machmir that he wants more simchas yom
tov. Yeah, right, that's right. That's correct. Yeah, that's right. Machmir in that... He's going to be less permissive on the basis of Simchas Yom Tov.
Right,
he's
right.
Verminhi, and we have a contradiction. Hashochit chayev of bi Yom Tov. If you come to Shecht, chayen of and Yontif, and etc. We know the rest of the Mishnah, that whether or not you could do Kisoy. And there, Beis Shammai was the Mekel when it came to Simchas Yom Tov. He was much more accepting of the notion of Simchas Yom Tov. And Beis Hillel was the Machmir. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Muchlefes Hashitas. Rabbi Yochanan says, just swap the Shitas around and make Beis Shammai here more Mekel, Kil Beis Hillel, more Machmir. And the Gemara then is continue with the similar analysis. V'dilmo Lohi. Don't be so quick to switch around the Shitas. Ad Kango Amri Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was only Mekel there because Elahechad Iker Decker notes, because he thought that the problems of Malacha and Yom Tov with respect to Kisui Adam, or Hachana and Yom Tov with respect to Kisui Adam, were solved by the fact that the shovel was sticking in the already ground up dirt. Avalicha Dleka Decker notes, lo, but Beis Shammai, if he would have thought that those problems wouldn't have been halachically solved, he would have been just as Machmir. Inami Ad Khan, will come Rebbe Silo Hachel, Kevin the Muktzuhu. And just as well, on the topic of Muktzah, Beis Hillel fundamentally believes that Hachana Bepeh is sufficient, that all you need to do is a verbal Hachana. Maybe there, because of fundamentally the issues of Kislei Adam, Beis Hillel wasn't as satisfied. And then the Gemara is going to, we'll continue next week to what the real problem, where we're going to introduce another stira. But the idea being that these are not simple machoksim, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, just on the topic of Simchas Yom Tov alone. They're more complicated. They have to do with the specifics of Hachana, the specifics of Kisui Adam, the specifics of Hachana with respect to these chickens.
Oh.